We've heard the stories of farm family underdogs pitched against profit-hungry developers or deep-pocketed corporations. We begin today with a land dispute in Canterbury, New Hampshire, that defies the good guy versus bad guy model. The players in this conflict are two very well-liked farm families. One has been farming in town for hundreds of years and now runs a conventional dairy farm. The other is not native, farms organically, and has corporate backing. So town residents had to choose between not good and evil, but good and super good to decide which of the two families would be able to farm 600 riverfront acres of municipally owned land. Tricia Nadolny helped cover the story in a series for the Concord Monitor, where she is a reporter. Tricia, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the land in question, known as the Intervale Farm. Can you give us some background?
Yeah, this is 600 acres of land along the Merrimack River. It used to be a sod farm, which actually is really harsh on the land, and it rips off the topsoil. And so this land is really in need of nutrients and some TLC. The town bought the land in 2005, and in September they put it up for sale, looking for either for someone to buy it or someone to do a multi-year lease with it. The land has a conservation easement over it, and so it can only be used for agriculture or for recreation for the town.
In fact, the town bought it to save it from development,
exactly,
from what I understand.
Exactly.
Now, there were several bids to purchase the land, but town officials presented only two offers to voters at a special town meeting earlier this month. Now, how did that happen?
There were actually eight bids for the town, to the town for the land. They ended up going with one or supporting one that came from Luke Mahoney and his wife. They owned the Brookford Farm in Rollinsford. They had proposed $900,000 up front, which would have been provided by Gary Hirschberg, who's the CEO
of Stonyfield.
Yeah, he wanted to give them the money and then they would pay him back for it and they would own the property. The town went ahead and supported that plan. There was a second one that was proposed by Eric and Peter Glines, their brothers, 21 and 24 years old. They wanted to expand their dairy farm on the property, and their plan was not supported by the selectmen, but they ended up getting enough votes to have their plan added to the town warrant. And so that's why these two proposals ended up in front of the town.
The Concord Monitor ran what they dubbed the Tale of Two Farms on their front page earlier this month. You and reporter Molly Connors profiled these two families vying to take over the Intervale Farm. So give us a little sense. Introduce us to these Glines brothers and the Mahoney family.
Yeah, well, the Glines family, it's interesting. Eric and Peter are ninth generation residents of Canterbury from this family. Their family came to town in 1730s, I believe, and the farm that they're currently farming has been in the family since 1853, so they have a long history in town. Their father, George, told me that members of their family have, you know, held every position in town from selectmen to, you know, they've been on the fire department and budget committees. They're very much a part of this town and they consider it home and have never wanted to leave. They have a traditional dairy farm.
Meaning non-organic,
right,
meaning conventional.
Conventional dairy farm. And they were hoping to purchase this new land to be able to expand that business and grow more crops.
And they sell their product to Hood.
To Hood, possibly. Right. So it goes to the Concord processing plant. The other people in this were the Mahoneys, Luke and his wife Katerina. It's interesting, Luke actually didn't get into farming until later in his life. After college, he worked on a farm in Pennsylvania, and then he ended up going to Russia and farming there, and kind of an interesting organic farm there, and that's where he met his wife. They came back to the United States, and they started the Rollinsford farm, Brookford Farm, in 2007. That farm is too small for them now. They needed a bigger place, and that's how they kind of ended up looking at this property in Canterbury.
And this is a biodynamic organic farm, they say, which each crop or animal helps each other. So they do animal husbandry. They do grains, a big variety.
Right,
there.
Yeah. I think that Luke described it as kind of a more spiritual form of farming. So
on the surface, we see this multi-generational conventional farm family with not such a promising financial plan, as I understand, and a career change organic farmer. They're not local, but with a strong financial backer, Gary Hirschberg, the CEO of Stonyfield. So tell us a little bit more about his role in this. I mean, he works a lot with small family farms.
He does. I mean, Stonyfield supports a lot of small organic farms. And Gary was doing this outside of Stonyfield. The money wasn't coming from the company. It was his personal money that he was willing to put up to support the Mahoney family. He was kind of vilified in this case. I sat next to him at the ultimate town meeting, and he said to me that he read a letter to the editor in our paper where he was called kind of a slick millionaire coming in with his money and kind of taking over the issue in town. And, you know, he kind of shrugged it off and said he's been called worse things. But, you know, he really doesn't see himself that way. He coaches soccer in the gymnasium where this vote was taking place, and he rode his bike to the event, and he lives in Concord. And he really, if not considers himself a part of Canterbury, he's a part of the local agriculture community. And he really saw this just as a way for him to give back to a farm that is doing some really cool organic things.
Well, Stonyfield, for full disclosure, is an underwriter of NHPRL. This is, as you mentioned, Gary Hirschberg's personal money. But, you know, it's complicated when it's a well-respected organization and a source of pride as one of New Hampshire's own. So what happened at this meeting?
It was really interesting. A quarter of the town showed up. People were shocked. I mean, the line outside the door, it took people over an hour, some of them, to get through and actually get their ballots. So everyone came in, and the two sides presented their offers. And people, I think, came in mostly with their minds made up. This had really been played out in town, and people were talking about it. So about 550 votes were casted. They did it in secret ballot, which was because some people had requested that. It was really kind of a touchy subject. People were voting against a neighbor or a family member or for a neighbor or a family member. In the end, obviously, the Mahoneys came out really overwhelmingly being supported by the town, 420 votes in favor of their warrant article. The Glines brothers only had 101 votes in favor of theirs.
And I guess a wrenching decision for the town. I mean, I'm looking to letters to the editor that came in response to your series. Is this a kind of insider-outsider battle?
Yeah, I think in the end it kind of did end up being cast as that. Which some of the townspeople weren't too happy about. You know, they didn't want it to look like accepting the Mahoneys into the town was casting out the Glines brothers. They wanted two strong farms in town and not just one. And it really did end up kind of coming down between insiders and outsiders. Ultimately, though, I think that the decision for the townspeople came down to finances, honestly. That's what a lot of the questions at this meeting were about. And, you know, the town would have continued to kind of hold the debt for this property if the Glines brothers would be paying off the bond annually rather than coming in with money up front. And townspeople just seemed very uncomfortable with that. And ultimately, you know, if their farm, you know, didn't succeed, the townspeople were worried about how that might affect the town's tax base, honestly. And that seemed like the biggest issue.
That's Tricia Nadolny. She's a reporter for the Concord Monitor who worked with another reporter there to write a series of articles on the town of Canterbury's sale of the Intervale farmland that's right down by the river. Patricia, we've spoken to and about plenty of greenhorn farmers, and that's not an insult. There's a film called Greenhorn, you know, and a web community by that name, who are, depending on who you ask, reviving farming or gentrifying farming. One of the letters to the editor asks, and I'm paraphrasing here, what happens when farming is no longer trendy and they go back where they came from? I mean, is there a sense that this isn't going to last?
You're talking about for the Mahoneys?
For the Mahoneys, that, you know, they're interlopers. They're city folk who just decided to try farming.
Yeah, no, I just from having spoken with the Mahoney family, I think that they couldn't be further from that. Especially, I think, because Luke came into farming so late in life, it really was a decision for him that he put a lot of time and effort into. He's farmed all around the world and is so passionate about this. When you talk to him about his different farming methods, he really believes that it's what's best for the land. And I think he wants what's best for this property. He's talked about kind of the way that he wants to rehab it using kind of this biodynamic farming, and that he hopes to have this property really healthy and flourishing again in 5 years and then have it become, you know, kind of part of his family, this property itself, and raise his three children there. And I don't think he'll be going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, Trish, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amazing story. Tricia Nadolny, reporter for the Concord Monitor. She recently wrote several articles on the town of Canterbury's sale of Intervale farmland. And we do have links to the articles at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.